Ich komme erst geflüstert.
So, herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Ausgabe von unserem E-Commerce Podcast. Heute, wie immer, mit dem Adrian zu meiner Rechten und mit der lieben Akriti zu meiner Linken. And Akriti is the reason why we're gonna switch to German.
No. To English.
To English today, our first English episode. Are you excited, Adrian?
I'm really excited.
I'm very excited and danke für die Einladung.
More
it's the max
English.
I can say.
It's the first podcast from you, right?
Yeah, first ever.
Nice. And Akriti also came from Berlin yesterday. And yesterday we also had an kind of a small event. Adrian, do you want to tell a little bit about that?
Yes, like a warm welcome for Akriti. We had a meeting, a strategy meeting regarding the strategy 2023 with Foodspring. Afterwards, we drove go-kart with a lot of our Stuttgart clients.
A few
our Stuttgart clients. And so we had a nice evening event with Akriti and the other clients.
Yeah, it was definitely super fun. Besides the fact that I came last. It's fine.
Nice. Yes, Akriti, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit? As well as maybe Foodspring in the second step?
Sure. So for users who don't know, I'm Akriti. I work with Foodspring. I'm leading the marketplace team at Foodspring. I started my Foodspring journey almost 3 years ago now, and it was also my first proper job in Berlin. Before that, I actually have a tech background, so I'm an engineer by profession. And then I switched to marketing. I did my master's in marketing and digital media. And then I landed a job at Foodspring where I learned the whole Amazon marketplace space. So I think it's been a great journey so far. I can dive deeper into my journey later maybe, but for those who don't know Foodspring is a beautiful brand. So our products, we have protein supplements, except vitamins, protein bars, etc. Our goal is to provide our consumers high quality, performance driven nutritional products that are essentially very functional focused, but also very that taste amazing. And I think that's what a lot of nutrition brands are kind of lacking, that they focus so much on functionality that they often don't make their products taste good for the general users.
Yep.
So that's, I think, one of our main goals. And I think we have a very wide range of products now. We have protein creams to protein, to whey protein, to even a huge vegan line now, which is actually doing really well. So, yeah.
Can you give us a little roundup about the different categories? So sure, you have protein powder and so on, but you also have really special products. Like one I got from you yesterday, they have been sleep drops.
Yeah.
Can you give us a little roundup about the different categories you produce and sell with Foodspring?
Sure. So I think our biggest category is our protein powders, under which we have the whey protein and the vegan proteins. And then we also have a clear whey, which is a really good whey isolate product. So that's the protein powders that we have. And then we have a huge supplements line, including drinks, where we also have high BCAAs, so energy aminos and recovery aminos. And then we also have a supplements line where we have like creatine. I think creatine is... Everyone knows creatine has been very big in demand the whole of last year and this year.
Yep.
So creatine is one of our biggest products. Zinc, magnesium, supplements like daily vitamins, omega-3. So all of those supplements that all daily users, athletes, or performance gym-going users might need. And then... products like sleep drops actually came out of the functionality factor that we've been trying to add to our products. I think it's a very good example of a product where not many people in the market would think about it and they would be like, okay, it's weird, why launching sleep drops? But it's actually one of the products like melatonin. It includes melatonin, and I think it's a very good product for people. I think often after working out, especially for athletes and stuff, when they work out in the evening, they're not able to sleep properly. And we all know sleep is one of the most important things. To recover your body, etc. So I think that's how sleep drops was originated. And I think it's a very, very good functional product and very high in demand at the moment as well.
are the functional products, or is the functional products category a known category at Foodspring?
Sorry?
Is the functional, so all the functional products, yeah, are their own category or?
No, not really. So this would come under the supplements and vitamins. Okay. But I think functional, when I say functional, I think most of our products or all of our products, yeah, are trying to be functional. Sure. They are trying to solve a problem, mm-hmm, or they have a USP for it. So yeah.
How important is the protein powder category from all the different product categories? So can you give us a percentage or something?
Yeah. So like, I think all brands, there's always our top sellers, and I think, yeah, our protein powders are our top sellers. And I would say they are a huge chunk of our revenue also because they are the highest priced products that we sell. So, okay, and the highest quality as well.
Okay. That,
so high quality equals to high price. It's not just high priced products. So yeah, I think that's
why
it should be. And that's why they're definitely a huge chunk of our revenue. So I would say almost like, it's a healthy split between the rest of the products, but at least 50% is a good chunk, okay, of include all the proteins,
okay,
not just the whey, the vegan. We have 3K, yeah, okay, clear whey. Yeah.
I didn't expect. Adrian, we're talking about it.
So, move on.
So, I didn't expect that, actually. But one last question regarding the products and,
sure,
so on. What is your favorite product at Foodspring?
Good question. So, I've been using the sleep drops actually quite, mm-hmm, often these days because not that I have sleeping problems, but in general, I think I work out in the evening sometimes and then I could use them. But my favorite product actually would be the protein creams and the peanut butters because I'm not a very whey user, but I really, really love the protein creams and the peanut butter in general.
We have those at our home as well.
Yeah.
So Adrian just made a quick pause.
Now I'm back.
For everything who's watching on YouTube.
I think I will get ill, maybe.
Hopefully not.
It's the coffee you had before this.
Maybe.
Yeah, too much. All right. Let's just dip into your journey at Foodspring. But let's start at how you came to Foodspring. You already said that you have a tech background.
Yeah.
Let's go deeper into there.
Where do I begin? So I was quite lost after my school and I didn't know what to do. So as every good Indian parents, they're always like, yeah, we're going to send our daughter to probably be an engineer. And that's literally what happened. And I wasn't sure of what I wanted to do. And I was like, okay, let me give this a shot. So I did electronics engineering. So it was not an easy thing. But,
yep.
And then I was actually working with this company called Sprinklr before this, which is a huge social media platform. Social media management platform, not a social media platform. And I was a quality test engineer. So I was in quality assurance. And then I slowly moved to customer success part of it. And within that, I was working in the paid advertising module. And that's how my interest in advertising peaked. And then I wanted to do my master's in marketing and digital media. So I moved to Spain.
Oh,
and yeah,
I thought to Berlin. Okay.
So I moved to Spain and then the second half of that was in Berlin.
Ah.
And that's where I came to Berlin. And
okay.
Berlin, like, I felt like I was home when I reached there. And and then I did an internship in Berlin before Foodspring. And when I was actually applying for this job, I was like, okay, I don't really know anything about Amazon Marketplace. But actually when I had my first few interviews, mm-hmm, I'm the kind of person, I really want to learn new things. And I think I was at that point where I was like, should I be more focused on performance marketing or should I try to learn something new? And I think this was an upcoming phase. And my boss back then, he kind of converted my mind completely. And he was like, this is such a niche right now. And I think, and that's why I was like, this is going to be cool to learn this.
Yeah.
And 3 years later now, loving it every day still.
But this guy has been Mark?
Yes. That's true. Shout out to Mark.
We have to send him this.
Yeah.
Okay, so you came to Foodspring as,
yeah,
a junior, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Can you give us a little roundup? Because you started as a junior more than 3 years ago, actually. And today, you're a team lead.
Yeah.
Can you take us on that journey real quick?
Sure. I'm going to talk about Mark a lot. I don't know why he gets so much importance in this, but I mean, he is an important part in my journey at Foodspring because he was my boss back then, Mark Gregor. And I think so. He basically, we were just the two people in the team handling, okay, Adrian's going to make another break. handling the whole, handling.
That's a little bit, awkward.
So,
before we go deep into that, can you just give us two informations about Mark, or one information would be enough, I think. What has been his position at Foodspring back then?
Sure. So Mark Gregor at that point was leading the marketplace team and actually was handling it all by himself. Yeah. And then he went on to become the director of performance marketing and director of performance marketing and marketplaces at Foodspring. Mm-hmm. So he was also handling the whole performance marketing channels as well as the marketplaces. And as and when he stepped up, now he's left Foodspring, but he has his own brand, which he's selling on Amazon, which is doing quite well. So you guys should check that out. It's called Melukrits. And yeah. When I joined Foodspring, it was just the two of us, and he was patient and kind enough to teach me everything from start to scratch. And I really like what his strategy was, because his strategy, he used to always tell me, like, learn everything as you were to start your own business someday. And I think that's the kind of mindset I have right now, because that's also what this job requires, is you have to know the operational part of it. You have to know the performance marketing part of it. Then you have to know the reporting, analytics, data, and the taxes. I think that's everything basically about it. How I feel like sometimes this channel is like its own small business within the big business, right? Because it's a whole other thing. So I think learning all those things as they were mine. As and when Mark grew, I also grew with him. And then I went on to now, and I'm leading the team at the moment. It's been quite an exciting journey.
Nice. And now Adrian's coming back, maybe.
Are you okay?
Welcome back.
Welcome back. I think now it will work.
Okay. Hopefully. So that will be the last.
Maybe you should have some of our focus drops there.
Maybe.
That will help. All right. So let's get more into detail regarding Amazon.
Yeah.
Can you give us a little bit of a roundup what your daily, or more like daily, maybe not, give us a roundup about your weekly task, what you're doing weekly as an head of head of marketplace at Foodspring?
Sure. Maybe can I give a small introduction about Amazon, how we started at Foodspring, and then jump into that?
Yeah, sure.
So just to give like a bit of why we started Amazon as well, right? I think that's important to understand.
Yeah. Interesting.
So I think what I find interesting about us and what's different from most sellers is a lot of sellers are like, this is their core business.
Yeah.
And I think where we stem from is we're a web shop focused D2C business, and that's how we started, before we were acquired by the Maas Group. And then we went on from there to now we have three main sales selling channels. So marketplaces, which is the goal, to have a lot more marketplaces, not just Amazon.
Yep.
The web shop is our biggest business. And then we're also very, very big and prominent in retail. And we're kind of a very omni-channel focused company, where we want to be present where the consumers are present. And I think this is also how Amazon came into place, because I think Amazon is where the consumers are, and everyone is starting their search journey and with intent to buy on Amazon.
Yep.
And that's also why we started on Amazon. So we started on Amazon in 2018. And since then, I think COVID 2020 was when we had massive peaks, because our products were very high in demand then, and I think everyone was home, stuck home, shopping and buying on Amazon. Grew, so you grow as well. There's a category uplift, you grow as
makes sense.
Yeah, so we had like almost 50% jump in 2020, and then 50% in 2021.
Okay.
To where we are. So it's been it was quite a ride back then. And that's how we started Amazon. And back to your original question, can you repeat it for me once?
I have to think about it myself. Honestly, I forgot it myself.
No, I think what I do every day.
What's your daily, weekly, more or less weekly.
More or less weekly.
It's more interesting maybe because I think it's that
different
every day that it doesn't make sense to do it daily doing, but weekly or monthly or something like that.
I think, so one of our, like I said, Amazon, I think the three biggest pillars for me would be the portfolio management, which is the whole inventory and the operations part. And then we have the our paid advertising part, which I think luckily I have you guys to support me on. So thank you. Thanks a lot for, and shout out to my account manager, Annika, because she's amazing.
And Michi.
And Michi as well, everyone. So I think what a huge part of, since that has been taken care of, I think what our biggest focus right now and with the projects that we're working on is, I mean, first is portfolio management. So in the start, when we started marketplaces, we were kind of trying to limit the portfolio that we have there and have kind of tried to be, make people migrate to the web shop. But slowly, I think we've realized that Amazon has its own ecosystem. People are not migrating from here to the web shop or web shop to here. There's a reason they're buying here, and they're very loyal to Amazon. They might not be loyal in, with the brands, but they're very loyal to Amazon.
So the first idea was that you do a few products or that you push a few products onto Amazon, that you get those clients there and that you bring them from Amazon to your online shop. But you don't think that the other products will be bought in your online shop.
Yeah.
You think they will still be bought in on Amazon itself, but from another brand.
Yeah. I mean, the goal was first to use Amazon as a customer acquisition channel.
Yeah.
But now I think we're moving so much more to retention because I think we've realized that there's a reason people are buying here. Free deliveries, Prime.
Absolutely.
There's so many more advantages. So even though we don't differ in the price point, but I mean, there's also a reason. That's why also people then choose to buy here. So yeah, I think so huge part, the projects that we're working on right now, and that's also what I'm executing, is trying to close the gap between the web shop and marketplaces at the moment. So to have our proper healthy portfolio there operationally and everything. And then I'm also very interested in all the data at the moment. And I think that's the one thing we're trying, I'm trying to work with our BI team, is to have, because to have a proper consolidated data, because at some point it gets really hard to, you get all your revenues in one place, but you don't get all your spend in one place. So I'm trying to have everything aggregated. And I think this year, one of our biggest goals is to get the AMC API integrated and then try to, like, I know a lot of companies are working on getting their dashboards made and trying to onboard clients to get AMC dashboards. But I think that's something we can also do internally if you have the capabilities. So that's, I think, that's the project that I'm currently working on as well. So it's like more a whole holistic team building, trying to take care of everything operationally, also to get an overview on the PPC and the DSP part, and then also the data and the reporting to the top management is a huge part of my job.
What do you mean with the last point?
The reporting?
Reporting to the?
Top management.
Top management.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So maybe come back to the last year.
Yeah.
Gritty, how was the last year for Foodspring and regarding to Amazon?
It was tough. It was good. I think we started really strong, but it was also very challenging. It was quite challenging, I would say. I think we were, everyone was going into that recession phase. Not, we're not there yet, but we're kind of, and the cost for everything was so high, the inflation, sorry, that's the word I was looking for. And I think we would be, and the supply chain disruptions post-COVID, I think really affected us really badly. So we had a huge out of stock issues. Okay. But that said, I think we were, we took it as a year to become more efficient in our daily business. We were like, okay, this is the time. Okay, if we don't have these certain amount of products, what else can we do? How can we innovate? So I think that was the main part. So what worked really well in the start was that we were testing out a lot of new things. So we also tested a lot of, we in the start of the year, because the quarter one is our biggest in the year in terms of revenue.
Yeah, makes sense.
We did,
Everybody wants to
New year, new me, let's go. So I think we did a huge campaign on Twitch, which was quite successful. Oh, and nice. So would be great to get more data on that, obviously, but that was quite successful, I would say. And quarter one was amazing. And then we were kind of hit by the supply chain. That said, year over year, we didn't have that much decline because we also raised prices in the middle. So I think we were able to tackle that. But overall, quite challenging. But Amazon launched a lot of cool features, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, like, what was your favorite feature that was launched last year?
Adrian, you can go first.
Yeah, good question.
You're not allowed to take mine.
So I would say the PoE.
No, that's mine.
Yeah, the PoE.
Fuck. I also wanted to say the PoE. So
yeah.
I always have been the biggest fan from Brand Analytics,
yeah,
back when it only has been at the vendor,
mm-hmm,
or for vendor, when it only has been available for vendors.
Yeah.
Because this is the only real Amazon data, and
yeah,
back in the days when you pushed your launch on specific keywords and so on, you never have been sure which keyword is the main keyword.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, depend. Not, I don't mean the most specific keyword, I mean the one from out of those most specific keywords which have the most search volume.
Yeah.
And then you compare different tools, and at the end of the day, everybody's or all of them tell you something different. And Brandlytics has been the first data which have been 100% accurate. And now you got a lot more of that, and that's called the PoE. So for sure, for me, it would be the PoE, I would say.
Yeah.
But also small things like those, like things like they have so much more create or branding, creative picture things like lifestyle picture for the ads, like more and more and more slots for video ads,
also
like
sponsored display ad video.
Yeah, mm-hmm, like for example,
also
like
display,
A+ premium and so on.
Yeah.
What is your favorite?
Same. I think brand analytics, and so people,
it is the best,
this is the one thing that we've been craving for, right? From Amazon to give us more data.
Yeah.
And then the search query dashboards.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is perfect because this is all the data that we were looking for. Also like ASIN level to get like proper your inventory, how your catalog is performing with conversion rates and add to carts. Like, this is exactly the information that we needed. So I think that really was the brand analytics was previously quite limiting, and now it's a lot more.
Yeah.
And also I think I really like that now you can A/B test a lot more. So like, I think the manage experiment section is quite interesting for us. So we're doing a lot of A/B tests at the moment with titles and images or products that we can. We also wanted to test between the A+ premium and a basic A+, but that's not allowed. I think we figured that out. You can only do a premium against premium or so yeah, I think these tests in the future, I don't know how they've performed for, like, if you guys have done any for your other clients and how it's gone, but sometimes they're for us quite close. So the size is the same, the data is like minutely different.
Yeah.
But I want to do more to see how we can actually innovate.
How much tests do you do per week?
Oh.
More 5 or 50 or?
I would say a month of 5. Because,
5, okay.
Because like, it takes at least 3 weeks time to give you the data.
Yeah.
And then also, how many times are you actually changing titles, or how many times are you? So I would like to do more ideally, but I would say that right now it's not that
much.
It's
also resourcing.
Yeah. Also, I think because we want to become more mobile focused now. I think we've realized that most of our shoppers are on mobile.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I have no idea if people are actually even scrolling down to A+ and looking, or if that's something we need to. But rather, I wanted to test like this length of the titles and how much people actually bother reading on mobile, or the bullet points and stuff. So I think that was, although I don't know how, if there were more file-focused tests, because that's also something you can't target at the moment.
As you have been at our weekly kickoff this morning, and maybe you understand that, but because it has been in German, we will do a study with the university from Stuttgart, where we also test things like those, especially you just said, especially differences between mobile and desktop and so on, because I think that's also really, really interesting, especially since you can see how much percent buys on mobile and how much on desktop. And yeah, that's so much.
So it's so like developing people. Heat maps with, okay. And are you doing this with specific, like, is it a client-based study or is it going to be random PDPs? Or?
No, you're asking too much. Okay. I don't know. I heard that myself this morning, first time ever. But that's
interesting,
Pretty interesting question. Yeah. Client-based study. Actually, it has been the first time this morning I heard it myself.
Yeah,
but I like that idea a lot.
Yeah.
Same. You also talked about the A Plus Premium content before, and I know that we did that together.
Yeah.
I think also as one of the first content projects, if I'm not mistaken. Can you tell us a little bit why you tried or why you did an A Plus Premium content?
Yeah.
And what the idea has been?
So I think A Plus Premium was always first the unachievable, because only vendors had it.
Yeah.
And now after that, Amazon made it available to us. I think it was, we had to try it. And also every data you get from Amazon, they're like, the conversion rates are 30% higher with A Plus Premium versus the basic A Plus. I think we wanted to test and see. Also visually, I think it looks way more appealing than our normal A Plus content. And I think just to get rid of text and have more visual based. So you guys have done an amazing job on our whey protein. Vanilla whey protein has the A Plus Premium at the moment. It looks visually way, way better. And I think all the questions that are in there, the comparison tables, everything gives the users all the information that is there on our web shop, which we're not able to give in the first title and the bullet points of the PDP. So,
but isn't it also a branding thing for you? Because for FruitSpring, all those branding options on Amazon are important, I don't think, and A Plus Premium is definitely, I personally don't think it is that much of a performance boost, but I think as a branding factor, it could be pretty interesting.
Yeah. Branding, yes, also just in terms of images, etc. But I feel like more for me, it's more educating part, because on Amazon, I think you get two types of traffic, right? You get branded traffic, but for these branded consumers, they already know the product. They already know I don't think they care scrolling down. For me, it's more about converting the non-branded traffic, and I want to educate them completely about, so yes, the branding there, so just that they get to know the feel of the brand, but also just to educate them about the product. I think A Plus Premium really does a good job at that.
Yeah, fair point. And for the brand-related searches, it's important to know, because they type in FruitSpring whey protein or something like that, but the important thing is that they will buy not only a food spring protein, they also buy however sleep drops or whatever.
So that could be that's an interesting point, because on our comparison pages then we have the other products there that
All right, pretty interesting. Maybe we can jump a little bit more into the DSP part. I think the PPC part is also interesting, but we also already jumped into DSP.
Yeah.
We're also doing that together, and you also already said a little bit about Twitch before last year. Oh, no, has been last year, 2022?
It has been last year, yeah.
Okay, in 2022. And I do also know that you did a lot of testings, especially before we started. You did plenty of.
Yeah.
Can you give us not a roundup, but more or less the most or the biggest mistakes, the biggest failures, or something like that, out of DSP?
Yeah. Let me think about it. So overall, we've tested a lot of. So we've spent a lot on DSP in general. And we've also tested Twitch, we've tested Fire TV, Fire Tablet, and I think where it worked really well for us, for like, so this is obviously branding on, like, besides the branding that FruitSpring's already doing. So this is more just to target Amazon, just because for people that don't know, we are only doing, like, Amazon within the Amazon ecosystem, so we're not sending any external social media traffic to Amazon at all. So all of that goes to the web shop. So for us, I think my goal was that to also make other Amazon users aware of the brand. So I think brand awareness wise, Twitch, Fire TV, Fire Tablet work really well. Successes there would be, what worked really well with us was the advance calendar launch of 2022 last year. So we did a Fire TV campaign for advance calendar, and we'd also done a Fire TV campaign for a launch of a salted caramel protein cream in Italy. Of the salted caramel protein cream.
Salted caramel.
It's a salted caramel flavor, and we did this with the launch in Italy.
Yeah.
And that, so as a product launch, these campaigns work really well because you can send a lot of traffic to your store. Mm-hmm. And obviously it drives revenue. You can see the uplift of revenue for these products.
Yeah.
Now, how much of what the conversion looks like, I guess that we will get more data from the AMC in the future. But
for now,
I think the click-through rates are pretty good. And I think from what Amazon says, according to the category average or whatever. But I would say they were really successful for us. Like, for what our targets were for the advance calendar with all the PPC and everything, and then the DSP, and it's a really good branding because everyone, I got so many messages of people that saw that campaign, also from you guys. Overall, I think the sales were pretty, pretty high. We were able to sell all our quantities, and yeah, so it was really successful.
Nice.
Mistakes? I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like a mistake is overspending and not getting what you get, but...
Or other failures.
Yeah, because also I think for DSP, we rely so much on Amazon for managing back then, not anymore. I think not now we have a little more control over it, I think. But yeah, back then, I think you have to trust completely Amazon for audiences, even though you get more data. But
how much percent of your total ad spend on Amazon is in DSP and how much is in PPC?
I would say like not even 10-15% is DSP, the rest is PPC.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Really interesting. Adrian.
Yes. I would say let's talk about the future and not the past. Hmm. So Akriti, where do you see Amazon in 5 years? And what are the goals for Foodspring next year?
With Amazon.
Interesting question. Amazon. I would say everything on Amazon is going to be an ad. Because I think their ad revenues...
It would be good for us.
Yeah.
Actually, it would be good for us.
For us, if we get the return on ad spend, yes.
That would be the difficult thing then.
Yeah. No, I mean, for sure, because Amazon, they've grown their... this is their top, the second revenue stream now, right? Like, from ads.
Especially the profit stream.
Yeah. Very profitable after AWS, I think, right?
Yeah.
This is the thing. And then, I think, and the good part is it's so organic, unlike Facebook. But that said, if they add more placements, I don't think for advertisers it's like a revenue boost at all. For them, yes. So, but for us, it's like 10 more placements is not going to drive revenue. But I think what is going to be cool for Amazon in the future, I think, is going to be a lot more, I see a lot more integration between, like, between vendors, seller for sure, and also other programs. Like, I could vision advertising in like the Amazon Fresh stores, for example, and then mapping those with like users because they have on Amazon or something. And also a lot more streaming platforms, because I feel like streaming, people are now moving from static TV to streaming TV. So I think virtually videos is the new advertising way to go. And I think they're going to have a lot more streaming platforms.
Interesting point.
That are going to get bigger.
Yeah, also interesting point, especially if you look on the football side, how much streaming, or in the whole sports side, how much streaming they're doing there. I think La Liga, they had a few, especially Champions League. They do a lot.
Yeah.
And also their own Prime Video in total. And their more or less external platforms, like we already mentioned, Twitch. Yeah,
but I definitely see that in the future.
Could be the new TV.
Yeah.
Top. And the goals for Foodspring Amazon next year?
Foodspring Amazon, this year and next year?
Both.
Both. I think the goal in general this year is to test a lot more, because I really want to have a proper A/B testing culture, which we don't get to do at the moment, because it's continuously changing. You need to update your assets. You need to test. You need to optimize. So that is a big goal, as well as
last one,
as well as I think AMC, because that integration is going to be a game changer to really. I don't know yet how to produce actionable insights, because we do get some information from Amazon, right? They tell you that these many people viewed your DSP ad before converting, blah. I don't know how we will definitely see, okay, that means invest more money in DSP, but can there be any other actionable insights that you can get from it? Maybe. So I think that would be huge for us to integrate that this year. So that's definitely on the goal. And then launch a lot more products.
Products which are in your online shop and the retail and so on, bring them into Amazon, right?
Yeah, and also Foodspring. I think we're launching every quarter, like at least 5 to 7 products. So,
and if Foodspring launches a product,
yeah,
how long does it take that it will be on Amazon Live?
The goal is to have it kind of on this around the same time, but because we're doing everything FBA.
Yeah.
So we're never able to, sometimes if the product is too late in our warehouse, and we're always able to meet our web shop launch dates, but on Amazon it's always like, when is the product going to be available? Because we've already shipped it. But
so I thought there's maybe a delay of a few months or so. No.
No. Okay. I think now with the recent launches, we keep it like 2 to 3 weeks.
Let's
say.
So immediately.
Yeah.
And yeah, the A/B tests, it's something I always tell as well our people, as well as our clients, that we do have to do that a lot more, especially if you have a look into the web shop scene. Mm. It's quite like that. Everybody tests so much.
Yeah.
For sure, it makes more sense there to test because you have a lot more options and so on, for sure. But on Amazon, just a few people do A/B tests, and you have also a lot of options, actually. You have a lot. And for sure, the data is not that easy to get, like on your online shops and so on. But excluded the experiments.
Yeah.
But in total, I think it's pretty good chance to go ahead the competition.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yes?
Sounds good. So, Moritz, do you have any more business questions, or should we change to the private topic?
We can do that, let's go on.
Okay.
Do you already know about the private
topics?
I got a brief understanding of it.
Full briefing. Yes.
Perfect.
So Akriti, how do you bring efficiency to your working life or to your daily stuff?
Good question. What really drives me is, I think, having a proper routine. I'm a really routine-centered person. And like, I really like having, even if that means like every day I need to get up at this time, go to work, come back, go to like the gym or whatever, workout, come back, eat dinner. Like, I thrive off of having my routine. And if I go on vacation for like a week or two, I miss kind of my routine. So that, I think, really helps me. Mm-hmm. And I think I've gotten better at it. And before, I think Moritz and I had a conversation about this as well yesterday, that sometimes it's really hard to separate yourself from work, right? And
we had that discussion, right?
Yeah. Okay. And so now I feel like I'm getting better at it. Like, we've all had those days where you wake up thinking about some campaign in your head. And it's like, this is the product I have to launch. Then I have this parent-child issue. So we've all had that. But I'm consciously working a lot to like, try not to, like, when I leave work, leave it behind. Meditation helps a lot. Everyone's meditating these days.
How often do you meditate per week?
I try to meditate every night.
Night?
I do it before I sleep. Oftentimes I sleep to it. So that kind of helps.
And I do that in the morning.
Yeah.
I feel a lot more, it's a lot more refreshing.
It is, yeah.
When you do it in the morning than in the evening.
Yeah.
but I got your point. That
yeah,
you
I do sleep meditation.
Yeah, I got that point. Yeah.
But yeah, in the morning, sometimes I just do like breathing exercises, like just
yeah.
just breathing, not exercises, just mm-hmm. like just yeah. breathing, because yeah. that helps. But yeah.
So. And how do you do it in the evening? Do you have an audio or something?
Yeah, I have an audio that my mom shared with me. it's yeah, so I generally listen to that when I go to bed.
Sounds good. So I would say, Moritz, question for you. You also have a good routine at the morning, mm-hmm. Like with a lot of ice and cold. Can you tell us something about your
no,
routine?
No, I don't do that in the morning.
So when do you do it?
I do ice baths.
Oh, really?
Right now I'm doing it twice per week, but I don't have an exact day or something mm-hmm. like that. Yeah. I'm just doing that mm-hmm. when I feel like.
Okay. Have you noticed any changes on you or like?
Yeah, I do that. I, honestly, not that I can say, oh, that yeah. changed a lot or something like yeah. that, but I do that every window since I think 3 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, I think 3 years now.
I can't even take a cold shower.
I don't like cold shower either. But yeah. I think ice bath is something totally different.
Yeah.
And it's also for the mental game, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And yeah. I didn't find something that changed like
yeah.
that. But
there's a lot of health benefits.
I believe in that.
No, fair.
It's quite like that.
Perfect. So, Akriti, the next private question is, you traveled a lot, you had a lot of different homelands also, so at which town or at which place you come to peace?
Don't say Berlin, you can't do that in Berlin, that's
no,
not possible.
You totally can. I think it's a very big misconception you guys have. My answer is Berlin. So. I mean, but it has a lot to do with my background because I moved around a lot. And
yeah.
like you said, I had so many different places that I moved to. And my parents live in Dubai right now. But I never really had a proper, like I've never lived in a place longer than 4 years, for example. For mm-hmm. So I'm completing that in Berlin now, soon, this year. And I've kind of, now I'm like after having my own apartment and everything, I think that was really important to me to have like a full base, pick somewhere where I know this is mine. And I think that's really, it is not Berlin per se, but it's my home where I really come to peace at the moment.
Yeah.
And also Berlin, the city has, it's very special and I really feel at home there. I know you're really judging me for it.
No. No, I think it's just too big, too busy, for me personally.
Yeah, it is, yeah. but I feel like there's something for everyone there, right? Like, it is very big, but often you end up just then going around in your own kids, doing your own thing. But it's very big, but it's also very small. You will not believe at the end of the day, everyone's in the same places. I run into random people and...
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I think I'm in Berlin for a while.
Found home.
Sounds so dramatic.
No, that's a good ending, I would say.
Yes, I would say let's continue with the last question. And you,
okay. you can ask
the question of the next guest.
Ah.
If you like, you can continue.
You can do that the first time. I think it's the first time.
So, Akriti, we have also a routine at our podcast. So
okay.
if you like, you can tell us the next guest for the eFly podcast.
Ooh.
And you can think about that a little. And if you have two, you can also say two for sure.
From your network or good friend of you.
Somebody from the e-commerce space who you say fits
good.
Into that podcast.
I would say since I already mentioned him already, I think the obvious option would be Mark.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, and he fits perfectly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly the space you're looking for. So yeah, I would say Mark.
Perfect.
And maybe one of your employees, I don't know.
That's a good idea. We can do a team session.
Mm-hmm.
Team podcast. Yeah.
With all people.
Yeah. Pardon.
All right.
Perfect.
Akriti, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for your time.
I think it has been a pretty good podcast. We also managed that. High five for that.
I really appreciate you doing it.
Yeah,
I really appreciate it. And you guys were great.
Thank you so much, Akriti.
Thank you so much.
Have a good time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.